Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. It's going to be live from Cleveland, Ohio. It's the American Sports History Podcast, hosted by my good friend, a brother, a mentor, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, first of all, Peter, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, I've always said when God created women, the world was complete, and you're bringing in a great lady in here tonight, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's we make history videos. The channel name is my name, Peter J. Ray, and you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest is the founder at Financial Literacy for Her, principal at East Light Investments. She's an author of books, including a co-author of Mind of Gold, The Girlfriend's Guide to Financial Freedom, came out last year. Well, along with Erica Neal, a longtime college fan of the NFL and college football, rather, and a New England Patriots fan. Well, welcome to the show, Ms. Karen Azer.
Wow, you said it correctly. Wow, you get a prize. Nobody says Azer correctly. Well done.
Well, you told me, and I wrote it down here. I have it in my notes, so it's good to write stuff down. That's what I always need to do to remember things. But Karen, can you talk about your book, Mind of Gold, The Girlfriend's Guide to Financial Freedom?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, so it's a book about, you know, our goal is we want to teach women financial literacy and we created a safe space for women to come and learn about their finances. The book's name is Mind of Gold, A Girlfriend's Guide to Financial Freedom, as you said. And what we do is we really break it down. We call it Mind of Gold because so much of the finance issues we have with finance goes back to our childhood issues, and we really help you uncover those, you know. So we focus a little bit on, you know, we try to help women find out what, you know, what is their purpose and what are the things that block them from growing and those money blocks. And then we move into a lot of the practical side of it where we talk about budgeting, credit, taxation, investing, and retirement.
And do you have a business where you advise women? Is that right?
Yeah, well, actually what we do, we're a coach. We're financial coaches specifically. Now, I was in the traditional investment business for about 25 years. And what happened is I saw so many women coming through our doors who were going through a life change, whether it was a spouse passing away or divorced or came into an inheritance, and really not even knowing what to do with it. And a lot of times they were towards the end of their careers and realizing they didn't have enough in their accounts for their retirement, and that broke my heart. So what we do is we actually work with financial advisors. We're not financial advisors ourselves. We actually work with the entire team because our whole idea is when everybody, you tell your advisors, and that includes your whole team, whether they're insurance providers, accountants, lawyers, and your financial advisors, we're almost kind of like the triage and the person who keeps you up to date and doing what you're supposed to do between your meetings. So often you go to a financial advisor and they'll say, well, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and then they see you at the next annual meetings and you forgot it was Z by the time you got in your car and drove out of the parking lot. And so we work with the financial advisors to help you stay on track and do what you need to do so you get to the next meeting, get your money working for you.
Sally from Bucks County, Pennsylvania is listening. She says she heard you, Karen, on WWDB here in Philadelphia. You are an inspiration. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you've been listening to me on the radio and we're getting around. And anything we can do to help the women you know, women get empowered about their money. And, you know, so many people, you know, and not just women, you know, generally people, you know, a lot of times they just go full ostrich and think that it will go away, but it doesn't. You know, there's one, you know, what is it? You know, death, taxes, and money. Those are all three things that are going to be part of our lives. And so we can either pretend it's not there or learn how to get a good relationship with it and realize that it's a tool more than a goal.
Jack from Macon, Georgia. Great show, Peter, along with this great guest. Hi, Karen.
Hello. How can I help you?
Now, I'd like to, now, Karen, can you get into more of the, you know, you seem to indicate that you talk to women not so much about their lives and issues in their lives. You want to talk about that? So it sounds like you're a counselor.
Well, there's a little bit of all of that. Really, we're trying to get to the bottom of, you know, most people have, you know, what we call money blocks. So there are four type of money blocks. There's one where you are a money avoider, which tends to be the population that I'm dealing with, and that is you just avoid it and don't want to talk about it. And a lot of times what happens is, like, for example, in my case, my parents fought about money all the time. And so I made a vow to myself as a little girl, I don't want to talk about money because I have had a negative experience with it, and I'll just pretend it's not there. You know, where you have people that, you know, they worship money and they make it their God, and, you know, they go and get lots of money, and then all of a sudden that they realize, you know, this isn't my answer. And then, you know, you have other people that are really into money status, and that's people, you know, really showing, being, you know, buying all sorts of things that you can't afford. And they often go into huge, huge debt. And then you have the other people, they're money vigilantes. And what they do is while they steward their money well, they hoard it. And they don't, you know, they don't use it to give back to the world and to invest it well and do other things. They just hoard it and afraid of it. And again, many times it goes back to experiences you had as a child. And so I work with them a lot of times to say, okay, what are those? You know, and I had a group of women last week. I had about 11 of them working. And one of the things I had them do is go and identify what that is. And then I had them write the three goals of what they're going to do in order to overcome that. And it was very empowering.
Randy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Nothing finer than a Southern belle. Nice to see women making a movement here. It's not all about staying home and pushing out kids. Some guys need to wake up. They're living in the Flintstones bedrock era.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, and it's true. It's actually interesting that you say that because I was just meeting with a financial advisor the other day, and he was talking about how a lot of times, you know, the man will be managing the finances in the house, but they forget that, you know, there's two people contributing. Even if the woman isn't making income outside of the home, she needs to be aware of what's going on, and it's not a matter of even competing for that. But you just think about, you know, if you don't know what's going to happen, I mean, the husband could pass away, and if the woman doesn't know what's going on, just think what he's doing for his legacy. So it's interesting that I have a bunch of financial advisors actually buying my book to give to couples because they both need to be aware of what's going on to steward their money well and think about their long-term legacy.
Jill from Mesa, Arizona, divorced here, said to myself, I'm going to make something of myself. Right now I'm a manager in an upscale restaurant. Thank you for this message, Karen. We need more ladies like you.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and that's part of, you know, we have on Facebook, we have a group called, you know, Mind of Gold. And, you know, that's why we bring people like you into this. You know, come into ladies, come on and join our community. Because, you know, there's no question is a stupid question. The only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And so this is a safe place to start to ask those questions. And, you know, it's really interesting. They did a study to say that, you know, 87% of women don't like to talk about money, And 80% of those, once they do, don't trust financial advisors. And so part of what we're doing with this, you know, we call it a guidebook, is so you can read through the book. And so when you go to a financial advisor, you go to an insurance agent, we actually have like a glossary of terms. We talk about what stocks are, what bonds are, just the terms that they will talk about, so you can feel a little bit more informed when you go there and know what they're talking about.
Now, would you call yourself a life coach, Karen?
I would, yes, definitely.
I've heard this. It's, to me, I mean, I don't know how long they've had life coaches, but I've heard about them for some time, and I'm fascinated by it. It seems to be a fascinating work. And would you like to talk some more about your work as a life coach?
Yeah, definitely. It's really it's interesting that you say that, because all the different parts of the book, as I said, and we also have an online course. But what's interesting is, so we have, there's 18 sessions, 5 modules. But I frequently get hired to discuss one, and that is one where I call it Dare to Dream. And what that is, it's going on the premise of so many people are living somebody else's dream for their life, or they're trying to prove a point. Like, I'm Exhibit A. I can prove to my dad I can do math, right? So I went down that path. And so what I do is I take women through a dream sequence where, you know, start out by getting rid of all the negativity in your life, all the voices, and often it's your own voice. It's the loudest one. And then we move into exploring all the different parts of your life. You know, who's in your dream? Where would you be? Where would you go? Who would you serve? And then we fast forward into the retirement, and then we talk about, well, your finances actually get you there. And then, you know, we come out of it, and then we talk about the path. What will it take? What in your life will you have to change to get there? But if you don't have a dream, or you don't have feel like you have a purpose and where that's going, it's going to be really hard to do that pesky budget if you don't have a why behind it. And so we work a lot on finding out what your why is, what your purpose is. So if you say, like, for example, is, you know, I want to get that car, you have a picture of the car on your vision board, and you're talking about all the things that go with that, then you can create goals around that, and it's a little more focused on that versus I want to make more money, which is a very nebulous goal. We try to help you get very, very specific.
You must find this work very satisfying as you, to me it sounds fascinating, because it's human relations. You know, I love talking to people and trying to get them to open up and learn their story, you know, and so that's what you're doing, and helping the people understand, and, well, you're really trying to, I guess, help them understand their life, and it just sounds like a wonderful work and very enjoyable for you, this work that you do.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, and there's this other piece that we go through is if it's are you tired of making excuses? Because we have so many excuses, and we outline 7 excuses, and it's like, I don't know where to begin, or it's not the right time, or I don't want to fail. It's not perfect. I'll never be like her. It's not what I expected, and I don't have the time. These are all the excuses for whether it's a budget or starting a new hobby or starting a new habit or whatever it may be. These are the 7 excuses we continually go through. And
well,
it's,
I would
not women, it's everybody, really, right?
Right. I would imagine that you have people, there are things that are affecting their life, maybe trauma from their when they were younger, and that's and they just don't want to talk about it because it's so painful, and then you're trying to figure out how you can get them. And of course, that takes time for you to develop trust from them, and then they think, oh, it's just so painful. They don't want to bring it. They don't want to get into it. And then so you are, I would imagine in your work, you're trying to get them to bring these things to see the light of day.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things is that I don't. It's not really like trying to get into a painful childhood, because one of the biggest things we do is like there's a purpose for it, and while we're trying to go there, so, you know, I kind of joke and I call myself the blessing finder, you know, and so I go and try to help them turn around and use that information to be informed why they behave the way they do, but also then to be empowered to say, to recognize it, you know, and go, you know, one of the things I have, the exercises I have them do is start asking their friends, what's their attitude about money? What do I say about money? And think about the friends you surround yourself, you know, who your tribe is a big deal. And are people around you always have a really bad attitude about money, you know, or, you know, do they waste money or are they hoarders or do they, what's their relationship with money like? And so then you can start being aware. So a lot of it is about bringing it into an awareness and having those negative attitudes and saying, you know, no, thank you. I don't need you today. You know, as we say in the Bible, get thee behind me, Satan, right? Get behind me that bad thought.
Do you meet people who you find are really good people, and they've done a lot, but they have low self-esteem? Is that, and then you're trying to help them to understand and themselves in a better light, and to believe in themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's one of the reasons I do that dream sequence. I mean, it's amazing. You take people, and it's about a 15-minute long thing. I'm actually turning it into a TED Talk. And it's, they come out of it, and it's like, you can't believe what I did and where I went. And in fact, one woman from last week's group, she actually turned her dream, what she, you know, she went to the beach. That's where she wants to be able to retire and get a beach house. So she actually turned it into her screen, you know, her background on Zoom. So she's looking at her dream every day, and it's reminded her of what to do it, and that's very uplifting versus, you know, thinking about, I wish I, you know, what, you know, all the things you wish you had. You actually start looking at the possibility set. But so what so happened, you know, just like I said, so many people haven't even taken the time to consider what their dreams would be. But and so without doing that, once you do that, then you think about the possibilities, and I help you work with trying to figure out what those possibilities are to get there, to make it come alive and make it beyond just, you know, a nice little dream you said one day.
Yolanda from Goleta, California, listening live right now. Hi, Peter. Hear you a lot with James Donaldson. Wow, Karen needs to be added to Cleveland as well.
All right. I'm there.
So do you, I was just, so Karen, you, when you're talking to these people, you try to figure out things that they would like to have or the life they would like to have but never thought they could achieve, and then you're trying to help them say, well, you can achieve, that can happen, and let's get this set up where you can get there.
Yeah, you know, and you know, and again, you know, I believe every person, you know, has a purpose on this earth. And so it's a lot, you know, and the other thing is thinking about your value system and going through what you value. Because sometimes, you know, like you'll say, you know, I think debt's bad, but yet you're in debt. So you've got to disconnect there. So you start talking about what is that? Because let's line up your finances. Let's line up things you're doing in your life with your value system. Because when you're walking in alignment with it, that's when things start happening for you. And also that's how you start to build some confidence as well, is once you start experiencing that you really can have an impact. So, you know, it's important to, when you're looking at making some big changes in your life, to do that, you know, a little bit at a time. You know, they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And, you know, so any of the changes we make, we really focus on, let's get some small wins immediately so that we can start building some confidence.
Now, in your time of in this type of work you've done, you've been doing it for a while. What have you learned, or how has the learning process been for you in the work that you're doing?
Well, what I love is, I love helping people bring their stories to life. And since every person is unique, every client situation is unique. And it's awesome just to see, you know, some people, how, you know, they come in very timid and walk out just feeling very confident. I mean, that's very empowering for me. I mean, that's what gets me out of bed every day. It's like, whose life can I positively impact today? I mean, talk about I'm practicing what I preach with my clients is I'm living out my purpose. I'm here to lift women up and help them live the lives that they were meant to live.
Wow, that's just really wonderful what you're doing and inspiring. And what else can you tell us about this type of work that you're doing, Karen?
Yeah, well, some of the other things that I do is like, one thing I want to challenge everybody out there listening, male or female, I'm going to give you 5 tips, but then I'm going to give you a to-do. The 5 tips that I give that can just get things started for you is the first thing is on your budgets, and that is give every dollar a job. With our money, on the expense side, we're either saving it, spending it, or investing it. So go through your budget and give every dollar a job. The other one is take an inventory of your assets. And that includes, you know, your home, your cars, anything inside your house. Number 3 is start thinking about other streams of income that you can make. For example, you know, I work with women a lot of times to find out what is your hobby. Maybe that's something you can start making money on Etsy, and you know you bake cakes or something, or you make other things, or you can start writing and freelancing and doing things like that. You can make extra money, and that can help your bottom line. The 4th one is that if you don't have a will, get a will, and if not, update it. And if you have one, update it, because I talked about this on another program last week. I got so many calls of people confessing they don't have a will. Because what happens is if you don't have a will, the state becomes your executor. And nobody wants that. So that is like one of the big to-dos. So anybody listening, when you get off this call, do that. And the other thing is, find out what percentage you're paying on your credit cards. I find so many people have no idea, and you'll be paying like 20% on your credit cards. You could go and get a 0% interest, transfer it there, and I've just got you a 23% return on your investment in that one move. So those are my 5 hot tips for your listeners.
Fran from Independence, Missouri. Hi, Karen. How about investing in Bitcoin as well?
I think Bitcoin is, you know, I don't tell people what to invest in, but I can tell you that I do invest in cryptocurrency myself. Bitcoin is definitely the one is, you know, kind of standard bearer right now. What I tell people when they're investing is, you know, take 10% of your money and have fun with it. And I did that with cryptocurrency last year, and I made a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. So that's what I would say. I think cryptocurrency is here to stay, and I would definitely encourage people to start learning more about it, because who knows how long this greenback is going to be around at the rate it's going, right?
That's right, especially since the national debt continues to get bigger and bigger, and they're turning the U.S. dollar into monopoly money.
That's pretty much what they've done, and then the interest rates are going to go up a half a point tomorrow, and that means the government's even worse in debt because they won't even be able to make their interest payments. So back to, remember when I said inventory your assets, and that also means physical assets like gold and silver and other things. So I'd definitely be looking at different kinds of investments. You know, we're in this inflationary time right now, and so, you know, real estate, there's a lot of, you know, it's kind of gotten silly, but, you know, real estate is one asset that tends to always go up, because even when it goes down, you know, it's on its return trip, it goes much higher than it did. So that's always a place I always tell people to be considering as well.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, human relations, and I've been working as a caregiver with the elderly, and they can't,
mm-hmm.
and I go to a facility where I talk to a lot of different people, and there's a lot of them are depressed, and they're all different, and to me it's fascinating trying to figure out how best to establish a rapport with people, and yet it does take time, But to me, it's just interesting because everyone's different, and we kind of have to adjust depending on who we're dealing with and trying to figure them out and trying to, yeah, and trying to establish a relationship. And you have it has to be different with every person, even though we are who we are. But we all have, if we want to be effective, we have to adjust with whoever we want to establish a rapport with.
Yeah, and the, you know, my big pro tip for that too is just learning to be a listener and to be comfortable with that awkward silence for a minute when you ask open-ended questions. You know, when you're talking to people, people love talking about themselves. So, you know, when you're talking to people, just asking some open-ended question, you know, like, what are some of your interests? What do you like to do? You know, that some of those small talk things, but actually listen to the answers and engage. Almost let them drive the conversation. And that's really how you can really improve that human touch and that connection very quickly.
And have some patience instead of, like you said, not trying to maybe – If you have, like you said, an awkward silence, and then maybe they will keep talking instead of you filling that silence.
Yeah, and learning to be present in the conversation. You know, put your phone down for a few minutes and just be present for that person. And a really big trick, you know, a really big test, and not easy to do, but will really help you, is see how long you can go not trying to anticipate your answer to whatever they say or trying to guess what they say. Really listen from sentence to sentence, and it's amazing what you can discover when you do that.
Yeah, and then after, like you said, with the awkward silence, you can use that time to try to figure out, based on what the person has said, what you will say.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, And also, you know, they do active listening too. And just, you know, one of the big things is to, you know, say, well, what I'm hearing you say is this. And then they feel heard and understood. And that's a really easy way to improve some that relationship connection as well.
So, Karen, what else can you tell us about your work?
Well, I know we're short in time, and I just want to end this and say, go Pats.
Since you brought that up, I was just thinking about the Patriots. I know you're a Patriots fan, and I'm amazed that they got this Mac Jones who seems really good, and he destroyed Cleveland last year in a game. And they ended up putting in Brian Hoyer when it was a blowout, and Hoyer was from Cleveland. He played for the Browns, and he led the Patriots right down the field for a touchdown. So I thought, Patriots fans have to be feeling pretty good with Mac Jones as their quarterback.
Yeah, no, we're definitely embracing him. We're excited. Last year, the first year without Tom Brady is really sad, and, you know, most Patriots fans are kind of double-fisting the football teams right now. I'll confess that I do watch every Buccaneers game, and I'll be watching it again this year. But, yeah, it's very exciting to see that, you know, it could be another run. You know, it's hard to think you'd see another Tom Brady, but certainly somebody who seems to be rising to the occasion and quite young.
Yeah, his first year, he did real well. I was amazed with it.
Yeah.
You know, it seems very energetic, confident, and really did well. So that's tremendous. Now, Karen, we were about 2 minutes here, less than two. Oh, Deborah from Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you, Peter, for bringing James and hopefully more of Karen. You three need 5 days a week.
All right, I got a lot to share. Yeah, that would be great.
So, we have 1 minute. So, Karen, what are your final words for the audience tonight?
Yeah, well, feel free to come and check us out. We're at finliteracyforher.com. And I would, you know, in our book, Mind of Gold, Girlfriend's Guide to Financial Freedom, it's on Amazon.com. And feel free to reach out to me. And all my contact information is on the website, and I'd be more than happy to talk to any of you. And just remember, money is a tool. It's not a goal.
And what's the website?
It's finliteracyforher.com, like financial literacy, finliteracyforher.com.
Fin, F-I-N, F-I-N,
yes.
Period.
Nope, finliteracyforher.com. It's all one word.
Oh, finliteracyforher.com. Okay. Well, wonderful having you on the show. And I just keep up. God bless you, Karen. Keep up the wonderful work you're doing. And it's just tremendous having you. Again, it's a fascinating topic, and you're doing a lot of good work. That's just wonderful, very, very wonderful. Next week, we're going to have James Donaldson back on the show, and looks like we got Craig Elo, former NBA player, in 2 weeks. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Ms. Karen Azer.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed evening, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Wonderful.